relationship there. So I am going to play the title track off of her new album, The Department of the West.
Lost a job, now you're losing the house. Gonna pour one last log on the fire. From a tree Dad planted long ago. Finally cut it down after decades watching it grow. Great grandpa spent a rifle on the hearth. Apaches call him Chief Wolf. Not a hater, still a fighter, Indian war guy. Time to smoke out this misplaced family pride. Here we stand, this land was never ours, no matter who spoke truth or who lied. Settled scores, this land was never ours. In a war, there are always two sides. Yeah, you're made of Irish, a little Cherokee. That's what you were always told. No one said who ventured into that squad's teepee. How honor can be bought, taken and sold. Split the wood, split it again. Roll it down the hill that used to give you 10 cents for every log. You can lift this Monterey pine. Now you see so many things were never yours, never mine. Here we stand, this land was never ours. No matter who spoke truth or who lied. Settled scores, this land was never ours. In a war, there are always two sides. Throw another log on the fire. Oh, burns best long and slow. Your settled scores, this land was never ours. In a war, there are always two sides. In a war.
So that was the title track off of Deborah Crook's latest recording. And as we are getting ready here in the station to have Jennifer Truesdale playing live, I'm going to play a piece off of one of her recording.
When you're walking down that dusty road, sun in your eyes, keep your head up, let your feet be your guide, and you'll be home before you know. When you're rolling, feel it dragging you down. Lay back, keep your eyes on the skies, and let that river float you home.
Jennifer Truesdale on recording, and now we have Jennifer Truesdale here in the station. Hi.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Welcome to WMFO. It is great to see you twice in less than 24 hours.
I know, and thank you so much for coming to our show last night.
That was fabulous.
It was such a great night. Oh my God, it was amazing. I love everything about it. It was incredible.
It was. Yeah. It was from... You were playing with Kelly. She had some of her students there. You had a lot of musicians up on the stage.
I had amazing musicians on the stage.
It ended up being really a community event, too, which you might not have realized because I hadn't really talked to anybody about coming, and I ran into about, like...
Oh, that's so cool.
So it was really fun to see friends and neighbors there.
Oh, awesome.
People who had not been to the Burren in a while, and they were able to say, wow, it's really stepping up because we miss Johnny D's.
We miss Johnny D's, and I feel like the Burren just really stepped it up, and they are creating an amazing space for live music in the area.
And I'm not sure if it's Joyce. It might be Joyce who was doing sound.
Last night?
Yeah.
Oh,
she been up for Boston...
She was nominated. Yeah. She was nominated. She's amazing. Oh my gosh. I playing there, worrying how is the sound going to be, like, doesn't even cross my mind. She's just amazing. So if you haven't voted yet for the Boston Music Awards, vote for Joyce Inn for best sound engineer in the Boston area.
Yes, because when I've gone there, I really feel like the shows sound amazing.
So good. So
let's hear more about you. You grew up locally, and you grew up in a musical household. Tell us about that.
I did. Well, I did. So I grew up in Arlington, and I grew up in a not necessarily a professionally musical household, but a very musical household. I did. My paternal grandmother was a professional singer back in the 1920s and 30s, long before I came around, obviously. And she used to sing on the radio. She had a duo with another woman. And my maternal grandmother, well, she wasn't a professional musician, played piano, played the fiddle. She was from Cape Breton Island. And, but my dad and my mom just, we always had music on. My dad is a huge, huge music fan, and a lot of classical music, but also a lot of, folk Americana music and all of that. I mean, we had the original, the Brown album, the Jesus Christ Superstar, when it first came out. We listened to that over and over and over again. So a very musical household, always singing. I used to teach them the harmonies so that they could be my backup vocalists. And I'm not sure how much they enjoyed that, but they did it.
They did it. Well, you know, one of my friends asked me last night, and I actually come from a musical household as well. My mother is a professional singer. She's an opera singer. And I say she's a diva, she's a diva. So when she was in Tosca, she was Tosca.
Yeah.
And it somehow skipped a generation. I remember growing up thinking, how do you know if you can sing? And then my niece, as soon as she started talking, she could sing and she could carry a tune. And so my friends even asked me, could I please ask you, how did you know, when did you know you could carry a tune? How did you know? Because your vocal control is amazing.
So, oh God, you know what? I'll tell you the funny story. So I actually, people ask me that question and I don't remember. I mean, I really seriously, it was just always who I was. I don't even know that there was ever a moment was like when I was like, oh, I can sing or I should sing. That would be fun. It was just always was. But I do remember, I think I was about 3 or 4, and my older sister was supposed to sing in like a elementary school fair or something outside a festival. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if she was sick or she just got scared or I don't know what happened, but she couldn't do it. And so the teacher said, well, you know, does somebody else want to sing? And I was like, I'll do it. And I got up and I sang the only song I knew all the words to, which was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Uh-huh. And, you know, so that's just, it's kind of always what I did. I was in every musical choral group. I played piano. I played the trumpet. I just, music and singing and all of that is just what I did. And I was perhaps born with that being my beingness.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you were singing before you realized you were actually singing.
I think so. Now that said, you know, I also have worked really, really, really hard over the years to develop the skill. Like, you know, I think I was born with the passion and some amount of innate ability and talent, quote unquote. But, you know, I worked really hard.
Right.
I spent
it's a muscle that needs to be trained.
And, you know, a lot of work has gone into it. And I continue to do the work every day and explore and, you know, play and all of that. So it's, you know, it's definitely it's a trained talent.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
Please.
You know what?
Joe,
yeah, let's
please.
Put Joe on
People tell me I'm talented. I often say, I'm not really talented. I just had patience for practicing.
Well, yeah.
Just because I like to do it.
Right.
And I wasn't particularly good at the guitar when I started, but it was just from the love of wanting to do it.
Yes.
The patience for practicing happens. And then over years.
You work hard.
And Joe,
if
you get a little closer to the microphone, we would love to hear what you're saying. Plus, I've been told by pros that the closer you get, the sexier your voice is.
That's okay, right. You then. Get those lows.
There you go.
So. Yeah, it's just the love of practicing and having the patience to do it is where what you were saying, she has a lot of control and presence when she sings, but that comes from years of practicing.
Practicing and practicing.
Even though you initially had the love of just wanting to, not being afraid to get up in front of people and do it.
Yeah, and also, it's the putting in the work, like you say, Joe, putting in the time and, you know, and also having some great people to learn from. I mean, I had some amazing coaches at Berklee. I had amazing coaches after Berklee. I learned a lot and, you know, learned how to work my instrument.
Yes,
in the best way possible.
Yeah. Did we get a chance to hear the instrument?
Yeah, let's do it. So should we introduce Joe Musella?
Absolutely.
So this is Joe Musella, and Joe is an amazing guitar player and played on my record, and we gig out all the time, and he's just amazing.
Why,
come
thank
on.
You.
I'm going to stand up for this. Maybe. I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm off the mic. That's fine. If you just, where do you want?
Well, it's kind of floppy.
Oh, it is.
Sorry, everybody. We're having a microphone drooping incident.
Microphone fixing music.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Joe. Providing the backdrop for our little technical support there. I said I wouldn't be lonely if you said goodbye. Looked out the window, watched you walk away. Told myself I wasn't gonna cry. I sat down in front of an infinity, but it didn't turn out right. And oh, I just need you. I need you tonight. I took a walk outside this morning in the sweet, sweet summer rain. Watch the children laughing as they played, so joyful in their game. But you know I couldn't feel the same. Oh, no matter how I tried, I know I just need you. I need you tonight. A certain melancholy just washes over me as I try page. I'm frustrated by their triviality. Cause the story of you loving me is the only one I wanna write. And oh, I just need you. I said I need you. Oh baby, I just need you. I need you tonight. Come on, Joe.
What have you got next for us?
Oh, want to go right into another one?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So that was the, I'll just say a little, couple of quick things.
Please do.
So that was the lead off track to my new album, Through the Circle, which I recorded right here in Boston at good old Woolly Mammoth Sound with David Minahan, who is amazing. And we're going to do the next song we're going to do is the second track. And I sort of like to joke at my live shows that I feel like I have this dual personality thing going on where I vacillate between, you know, really thoughtful, reverent songs and completely like irreverent, just body kind of fun stuff, which is, I love that duality. So we're going to do one that's a little more introspective now. So okay. It's called Thinking of You. morning comes, gently kissing the leaves with dew. When night falls and the moon shines bright, that's when I think of you. Yeah, that's when I think of you. Same old story, same old song, about a love that's moving on. Said it was beautiful, but now you just can't stay, yeah. And when your journey takes you far from here, your voice will whisper in my ear, and I'll think of you. Yeah, baby, I'll think of you. You're never far from me, 'cause you're here inside my heart. And when I need a smile, all I have to do is start thinking of you. Yeah, I just think of you.
Just beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
For any of our listeners, we have Jennifer Truesdale here in the station being accompanied with by Joe Masella. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you want to play one more song before
sure.
we continue the
sure.
interview?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's go into it. What have you got for us?
Have you ever seen the rain?
Okay. All right. So when I was making this record, I obviously had written some songs, and I think they're pretty good songs, but I thought, it'd be good to do a couple of cover tunes, And this one sort of fell out of the sky. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should do that one. And I did some, made some changes. So hope you enjoy it. It's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say, it'll rain a sunny day. I know, shining down like water.
imagine that it took our listeners a few moments into your song to realize what you were singing. And you gave us the abbreviated version of your changes. But those who did not have the luxury of being with us last night, can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. So, yes, it always, it's interesting because whenever I do that song for new people or people who haven't heard it, you can see they're like, I know this song. That lyric is so familiar, and the wheels are turning, and then the light bulb goes off at various times, and it's like the room lights up. So I totally changed it. The only thing I really kept intact is the lyric. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do the song, and I'm like, oh, I really love this song. But the original is in 4. So I put it in 6 because I felt like it wanted to have a gospel kind of 6 feel. Mm-hmm. And then I was playing the chords. I'm like, yeah, those are good. Those are good, John. But I think I want to do this. And so I did a reharmonization on the chords. Again, ended up being a little bit more of a gospel-y feel, not, you know. And then I changed the melody.
Other than that, it's the same. It's like when you take a house down and you leave just like
one wall. But the wall that I left intact is a pretty amazing wall.
Yes.
It's interesting because when I started playing around with the melody, I just felt like, I don't know, I felt like I could really tap into the message of those lyrics. And, you know, honestly, whenever you cover somebody else's song and you interpret somebody else's song, you know, unless you have a conversation with them, it's impossible to know what those lyrics meant for them. But I know what they meant to me when I heard them. And so then when I wanted to express them myself, I was like, okay, well, that's the message that I got from this song. Here's how I would say that.
Right. I also feel a dance in that.
Yeah.
It feels very much like a beautiful waltz that people would, you know, just has this feeling of connectedness. And it's a song that we love, that we've grown up with. And to be able to dance like a slow waltz to that would just be amazing.
I love playing in 6. That's always my favorite.
I do too.
Gorgeous.
I love it. Yeah.
Something about the vibe.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you chime in here. I'm in love with your guitar. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you. It's Taylor.
Uh-huh. Can you tell us anything else about it?
I'm in love with his playing, too.
Yes.
I love the way he plays.
Taylor's just a guitar brand that I always liked. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of great acoustic guitars.
Yes.
Martin, Collings, which I have one. But
do you have a collection of guitars?
I do have a few guitars. When I was young, I mean, I loved, you know, Jimmy Page, of course, and... I'll reluctantly admit I loved Kiss, Ace Frehley, but they both played Les Pauls. I always wanted a Les Paul.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I got one of those, and I said, well, this is great, but it doesn't sound like David Gilmour from Pink Floyd or Jimmy Head. I'm like, oh, I guess I need a Strat, too.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Then I really started liking like Larry Carlton, and he played at 335, and I'm like, oh, I need to sound like that now. I need that sound. So I came to realize by the time I was like 19 or 20, it's like, I'm going to need like one of everything. So I do. I have a couple of Strats, a couple of Les Pauls, a 335, a SG. I don't know.
Now, how do you keep them? The guitars really only live if you're playing with them. So do you play them all regularly?
Well, of course, some more than others, but yes. Mm-hmm. I bring more than one guitar to gigs. Although last night I played the Strat the whole night because that really lends itself well to just the rhythmy, funky vibe that we do.
I
use them all. But it depends on the gig. And sometimes if I have the luxury of having enough space to change guitars, I'll bring like even 3 or 4 guitars with me and I switch off on different songs just to get different colors.
Right.
It's a luxury.
The flexibility of what you just said, being able to hear you bringing your Taylor. Yesterday you had
A Strat,
and then sometimes, and you were talking earlier, Jennifer, sometimes it's the two of you playing. Sometimes last night you had a lot more people on the stage with you, and
that's
that
right.
Flexibility of being able to kind of group and regroup, and it's just amazing to me. Even having grown up in a musical household, the flexibility of musicians is just astounding.
Well, and the thing that I think is really fun about it is, you know, from where I stand or sit, singing in each environment, whether it's a duo or like a four-piece or, you know, 10-piece band with lots of horns. It's singing in different environments. For me, it's like I get to play in different ways. You don't always necessarily do things the exact same way in each setting, because this the aesthetic and the dynamic is just different. And it's fun. It's really fun to play around.
And that's what's fun about playing with you in particular. Jen can hang with anything, like in all these different situations. And one of the most fun things, like when we just did the ending of the last one, Have I Ever Seen the Rain?
Yeah.
We were doing something a little, like I started doing something different that I'd never done before.
Yeah.
And every time we play a song, it's always different.
It's never so fun.
And you always hang with it. You never get like, what are you doing? Because, you know.
She did not have that expression on her face.
No, never.
She's
and even when I'm messing up, which is often, she smiles through it, and you know she's cool with it. And I use this loop pedal so I can solo over the chords. You know,
right.
I loop myself while I'm. And I mean, it's a good like 20% of the time I mess it up, and it's like an uneven amount of measures, and it sounds kind of. But she always she makes it easy and fun, and you're always willing to jam and just let things stretch out. The intros sometimes are as long as the song we actually play.
Yep.
And sometimes the outros are.
And what's so fun about that for me is, you know, it's like every live performance, you get to play.
Right.
You get to play. There's no feeling like you have to do it the same way.
Well, that's
every
right.
Time.
With you, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Conversations are always different.
That's right.
Even with your best friends, right?
Well, I love the way you said that, Joe. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're so right. It is.
And then with the group of guys we had last night with Tom and Bill, it's a constant listening and playing off each other.
It makes it interesting for the audience.
Yeah.
That's our reward for coming to hear you play live.
That's right.
Something is different.
That's right.
And we had some audience members last night who we were talking to, Michael, who is here with us. He noticed last night we were talking about the gig how, I think you used the word liquid.
Oh, yeah.
Fluid,
I love that. Yeah.
Fluid and organic. And I'm like, and sometimes we're trying to fluid our way out of a goof in the form or something. But that's what I'm saying. That's what's so fun about it. And we always recover in a nice way.
That's right.
And you never get uptight about it.
No.
And that's what I love about playing with you.
No. You know, I feel like perhaps when I was younger, I might have, like, because I might have been like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. But I feel like now it's just fun, and it's just a way to share with our audience, and some of the coolest things happen coming out of a mistake.
That's right.
Yes. And if all else fails, start clapping. The rest of the audience will clap with you.
That's right.
Or do it the same way, you know, repeat the mistake and it doesn't sound like
exactly.
a mistake.
Exactly. But
once at the Burn, the first time we played Have You Ever Heard the Rain, we played the field totally wrong.
We did.
And it came out awesome.
It was.
And I think we got like a standing ovation and everyone was cheering and we're like, wow, we just played that completely wrong, everybody. And nobody knew.
Nobody knew. You know, my mom always said when I was a kid, she said, just put a smile on your face and the world will never know. You know, you just, and as musicians, I mean, I think that that's the key thing. And, you know, I'm a coach and I coach young singers, and I always tell them, you know, number one, the key to being a great musician is not to never make mistakes. It's to know how to get out of them.
Right.
Gracefully, and to just smile your way through it so that 99% of the time nobody even knows that that wasn't exactly what you meant to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just don't waste energy. I tell students that all the time.
Yeah.
Don't waste any energy. They start like cursing and stomping. I'm like, cut it out. Just put the energy into recovering.
Yeah, exactly.
And telegraph that it's a mistake.
Getting out of the mistake. I want to just share a really quick story. Several years ago, I was listening to this amazing audio documentary about, it was called Bach and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's an accompanying video. Anyway, I was listening to the audio. And the premise of this thing was that they were interviewing musicians and composers and conductors and all these different musical people about how Bach influenced their lives. And I think it was with Bobby McFerrin, the interview, and they were talking about improvising and how he was telling a story, and I'm probably going to mess it up, but anyway, the crux of it was he was singing with some huge symphony and they were doing some Bach piece. And they were talking about how Bach was a great improviser. He loved to improvise, and he would do like improvising duels with other musicians. So Bobby McFerrin is telling the story how he's on this gig and he's with this orchestra and they're doing this piece. And he said, I got completely lost. Didn't know where I was in the piece. And he said, the first violinist is looking at me with panic in her eyes. And he said, I just improvised my way through it till I knew where I was, picked it all up. He said, and the orchestra heaved a sigh of relief, and we carried on.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's it right there.
Just
you know?
Moving.
You just keep moving, and you. So yeah.
Improvise on someone who improvises.
Improvise on someone who improvises. And again, sometimes in those moments, the most magical things can happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And the first violinist will remember that.
The first violinist was like, holy cow, that was
well,
scary.
Well, that's hard for classical musicians sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah.
So you have a few influences, and I've lined a couple people up.
Oh, yay.
So why don't we start with some Bonnie Raitt,
and
then we will come back and talk some more.
Sounds awesome. Sounds great.
Daylight, I think about you and wonder where you are. Night, I'm wishing, looking at the stars. But I don't worry about you, I know that soon you'll be home. But while you're gone, take my love with you. Let it be my love.
Well, it looks like we might have a little bit of equipment failure. Let's see if maybe, I'll tell you what, why don't I put on some Archibald and we will get the equipment back running and we will take it from there.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Yeah, I'm a little nuts about dog adoption.
I love that. That was awesome.
I do dog fostering when I'm not on air or working as a nurse. And I am doing a home construction project, and I'm actually creating a puppy nursery in the house with a drain and a hose. And
I love it.
Down at the deep end.
I love it.
Enough about dogs. Let's get back to Jennifer Truesdale with Joe Musella.
Musella. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. It's really, you make me happy. It's really been great having you in the studio.
Oh, me too. My pleasure.
And we have a few more things to talk about.
Yes, we do.
What would you like to start with?
So a couple quick things. In case you missed it at the beginning of the show, I put out a new album in April. It's called Through the Circle, and it was recorded at Willie Mammoth Sound in Waltham with Dave Minahan and a cast of amazing musicians. And so that's available everywhere. Anywhere you want to find music, you can pretty much find it. And I have a show. So in addition to my own shows that I do and my own projects, I have been for the last 15 years producing a show called Chick Singer Night Boston. And what we do pretty much two shows a year, and we feature a variety of primarily female singers. We often have a full band on stage with them. Sometimes it's an acoustic show. Established singers, up and comers, young, you know, across different, say again, students, yes, because a lot of us are teachers, students as well.
Last night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was 14 years ago. It was the first one I did.
No. Wow. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's 28 now.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So, figure that out.
Yeah. So we have singers that start with us when they're really young and, you know, anyway, and then they grow and grow and grow, and it's pretty amazing. So we have a show coming up at the Burren in the back room. We're doing, actually, first time we've ever done this, we're doing an acoustic brunch. It's at the Burren Backroom Series this coming Sunday, November 17th, excuse me, from doors open at 11, and show starts at noon. And so come and have a great Sunday brunch, hear some great music. This one's going to be an acoustic show, a lot of singer-songwriters. It's really fun, and all the shows we do, we've been doing this for 15 years, we take zero profit. We give to help fund music programs, whether they're in schools or in community-based programs. So this one is going to go to a wonderful program called Music and Youth. And if I could just say two quick words about what
Absolutely.
They do. I think it's such a great idea. So they're not their own entity. Like, they don't create music programs and deliver them. What they do is they partner with existing community-based programs like a Boys and Girls Club. And they give the Boys and Girls Club seed money for 2 years to start a music-based program in the Boys and Girls Club in their community. Because I was talking to the guy about it. They figure those entities are well-established. They're known. They're trusted. So they help them then become self-sustaining. And so we're going to give the proceeds to that program.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
And I asked the guy, I said, you know, I see you have a lot of locations. How many of these are now self-sustaining? And he said, they all are.
Yeah.
That's why we're starting some new ones. So they give 2 years. That's a lot of money. And then they give, you know, little bits of money after as needed, but then they expect them to be self-sustaining. So it'll support Music and Youth, which is a great program. It's musicandyouth.org.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. There are some really good youth music organizations in the Boston, Cambridge, Somerville area, and it's just...
So many.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so people can check out my stuff on jennifertruesdale.com. You can also check out chicksingernight.com and go to the Boston page, and obviously we're all on Facebook and all the socials, as they say.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to rush you, but I want to make sure we have time for your last song, so if you want to go ahead and...
Sure.
So Jennifer Truesdale and Joe Musella again here live at WMFO.
You.
And you're doing your version of...
Yeah, so yesterday was Bonnie Raitt's birthday, so we're going to do our version of Angel from Montgomery.
Okay, fabulous.
My old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were thunder and lightning were desire, this old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old
rodeo. And just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, well, I had me a cowboy. He wasn't much to look at, but he was a free rambling man. But that was all such a long time, and now no matter how I try, well, those years they just flow by like a broken down day. Make me an angel from Montgomery, make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning? Well, I come home in the evening and have nothing to say. Oh, make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of. Believe in this living is just a